At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Musical Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
Hello. We have just been enjoying, haven't we, some piano music played by Víkingur Ólafsson, Jean-Philippe Rameau's Gigue en Rondeau 1 and 2. Now, Jean-Philippe Rameau was an exact contemporary of Bach and Handel, 2 years older, and outliving both by almost a decade. And besides writing remarkable music, he said some very clever things. Of all the elements united in the performance of music, rhythm is the one most natural to us, as it is equally natural to all animals. And that is a very clever thing to say. Now, from Víkingur Ólafsson's album, released a few months ago, Debussy and Rameau, two French composers, one Baroque and the other Impressionist, but both with striking similarities, if you look or listen hard enough. Personally, I find it difficult to find any similarities at all, but I'm assured on the album cover that I am wrong. Both, however, broke new ground, and Ólafsson attempts to create a conversation between the two composers. That is Debussy and Rameau, if you remember. Successful or not, it's a wonderful album, and Debussy himself remarked that in his music, Rameau appeared to him as a contemporary. Now, being an Icelander, Víkingur Ólafsson can be quite volcanic and versatile in his output, having a taste for challenges across the musical spectrum. His Debussy pieces are particularly interesting when one considers that he is lucky enough to have synesthesia, whereby he associates musical keys with colours, not unlike the Visualize on the iTunes app of my desktop. Maybe you have one. So when Víkingur listens, for example, to something in F minor, he sees the colour blue, and A major, the colour yellow, C major, he sees white, and so on and so forth. But annoyingly, he fails to tell us the colour of E minor. So see if you can find a suitable one for Debussy's Jardin sous la pluie. Thank you. Jardin sous la pluie by Claude Debussy and played by Víkingur Ólafsson. We're still trying to work out what colour Ólafsson could envisage when he played this music. I've just been told by Marie, my producer, that she also has this wonderful talent for synthesia, so I'm going to find out what colour she saw later when she listened to this piece of music. Well, now, Handel's opera Atalanta, written and performed in Covent Garden in 1736 to celebrate the marriage of Frederick, Prince of Wales, to Princess Augusta of Saxe-Gotha. Though neither seemed particularly interested, they were finally prevailed upon to see it after hearing rave reviews about the firework display in the final act, which by all accounts went off with great applause. As Thomas Gray wrote to Horace Walpole, "There appears the Temple of Hymen with illuminations. There is a row of blue fires burning in order along the ascent to the temple. A fountain of fire spouts up out of the ground to the ceiling, and two more cross each other obliquely from the sides of the stage. And on the top is a wheel that whirls always about and throws out a shower of gold colour, silver, and blue fiery rain. Non Sarapoco, King Meleagro of Aetolia, disguised as a shepherd, chilling out in a bucolic setting, joyfully sings after being saved from a ferocious wild bear by the Princess Atalanta, also coincidentally disguised as a shepherdess. She presumably had not yet run the race of the three golden apples yet. 27-year-old Venezuelan soprano Samuel Marino sings in his debut album with the Handel Festspiel Orchestra Halle and Michael Hofstetter. Oh, Non sarà poco by George Frederick Handel and sung by the extraordinary parvenu 27-year-old Venezuelan soprano Samuel Marino. It's his debut album. Now, another extraordinary voice from Marino to Morino. Lyric tenor Giuseppe Morino sings in the early 19th century bel canto style, popularized by Rossini, Bellini, and Donizetti, a style that involved mellifluous extended musical phrasing, melodramatic vocal acrobatics, and a very, very high notes for the sopranos and tenors. Now, Giuseppe Morino is greatly admired for his technique, but sadly has never become commercial success, lacking possibly the masculinity sought after by modern audiences. I don't know, but he has a very ethereal, ghostly sound to his voice, and so it's very interesting. A te, o cara, from Bellini's opera I Puritani, based upon Sir Walter Scott's novel Old Mortality, performed in Paris in 1835, shortly before the composer died, sadly, of gastroenteritis. A te, cara, by Bellini and sung by Giuseppe Morino. Giuseppe Morino singing A Te Cara. Well, modern masculinity. A couple of years ago, I chanced upon one of those dull television antique programmes in which the presenter, obviously seeing himself as something of a matinee idol, foolishly declared of a sight of an early 19th century pink silk top hat. Oh, what kind of a man would dream of wearing a pink top hat? Of course, he failed to realise that pink and blue only became gender-related colours in the 1940s. It's beyond me how he got his job. Well, I'm going to play you some real masculinity now. Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau and Daniel Barenboim having fun with Hugo Wolf's song set to Goethe's poem Drunken müssen wir auch sein. We must all get drunk. Old men need drink to relive their youth. The grape helps us forget our woes, but drink only the best.
Nachgefragt, Wein ist herzlich untersagt. Soll denn doch getrunken sein, trinke nur am besten Wein. Doppelt wärst du ein Ketzer, wie verdammt ist um die Kräter.
Musical Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
Well, before the Edvard Grieg, you will remember we listened to Hugo Wolf, Drunken Missen, etc., sung by Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau and accompanied by Daniel Barenboim. And that was followed by Jorn Skoger playing March of the Trolls by Edvard Grieg on the piano. One of 66 short lyric pieces written by Grieg over a 30-year period, March of the Trolls evokes not the bigoted commentators who spit their venom on lying today, but the folkloric creatures of Norse mythology, ugly to behold, often with many heads, an ability to petrify on demand, dwelling in mountain caves or at the bottom of fjords, stealing, hoarding gold and silver, with a marked antipathy towards human beings, which is more or less the same thing as an online troll, come to think of it. And above the dark waters of the fjords and lakes live the wild swans. According to Hans Christian Andersen's tale, Usa's 11 brothers had been turned into swans by their wicked stepmother. In 2002, Soviet-born Australian composer Elena Katz-Chernin wrote the music to Meryl Tankard's ballet Wild Swans. Elisa's aria, here performed by Daniel Hope and Jacques Amon from the wonderful album Spheres on the Deutsche Grammophon label.
Ramblings presented by Francis Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Hope and Jacques Amon were performing Eliza's aria from Eleanor Katz Czerny's Wild Swan Suite, and that was followed by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Sonata for Violin and Piano in F Major, Gurgel 30, Adagio. Mark Nykrug and Pinchas Zuckerman were playing that really delightful music, one of a set of six written at the age of 10 and dedicated to Caroline of Nassau-Weilburg on the occasion of her brother's, the Prince of Orange, his birthday. Not a truer word was uttered when the Swiss Reformed theologian Kalkbrenner remarked, "It may be that when the angels go about their task praising God, they play only Bach. I am sure, however, that when they are together en famille, they play Mozart." As the young Mozart reduced the courts of Europe to tears with his sonatas, Giovanni Paisiello, 16 years his senior, was already packing the opera houses of Italy. 95, he wrote in all. Many commissioned by members of Napoleon Bonaparte's family, as he placed them strategically around Europe on various usurped thrones. Napoleon, eh? Now, let us listen to the rondo from Paisiello's fourth piano concerto in G minor, which he dedicated to Catherine the Great of Russia, for whom he had worked for 8 years in St. Petersburg. Interestingly, it was Mozart himself who admitted the influence of Paisiello on his music, so bear that in mind, and do not dismiss Paisiello as a plagiarist, which I did when I first heard this, but interestingly, this piece of piano music was written before Mozart's later piano concertos, and there's a very strong similarity. Giovanni Paisiello's Piano Concerto No. 4 in G minor, played by Francesco Nicolosi with the Collegium Philharmonic Chamber Orchestra and Gennaro Capabianca.
Thank you.
Rondo Allegro from Giovanni Paisiello's Piano Concerto No. 4 in G minor, played by Francesco Nicolosi with the Collegium Philharmonicum Chamber Orchestra and Gennaro Capobianco in charge. Well, we seem to have approached, even arrived, at the end of the programme. And so some other day we must indulge ourselves listening to some other influences on Mozart. But for the meantime, we must draw a conclusion to the programme. And what better way of doing it than to end with an idyllic float on an inflated lilo on a sleepy lagoon with a little help from Eric Coates and pianist Stephen Hoff. Sweet dreams, I say, by the sleepy lagoon. Goodbye, and until next week. Thank you.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.